what is one thing that has helped you improve your communication between you and your advisors? Not necessarily current advisors or future advisors or past advisors. What is something that has helped that's made your life easier when communicating to advisors to help sell work? Stefan.
I think it comes down to just confidence in what you're actually trying to get across to them. I think a lot of challenges I had early on was that, you know, I was simply a kid. I was 17 years old in the dealership life, and nobody really takes you seriously at that age. And it takes time to really build that trust with an advisor who's trying to sell, you know, a couple thousand dollars of work to a customer, and they're not too sure you know what you're talking about. So I think you got to be confident, and you got to be clear with that confidence that, hey, you know, I'm recommending that the brake rotors get replaced on this car because I've done the run-out measurement. It's going to handle the pulsation start to finish. Have that confidence in your knowledge and your skill set, and trust the advisor to do their job. And if that trust isn't there back and forth, it's going to be pretty difficult. But the confidence got to come from the tech. He's got to be sure he knows what he's talking about, he or she. And that definitely makes it easier for the advisor to relate to a customer.
What would you say is the thing that instills the most trust when you're doing that?
They got to believe that you know what you're talking about. And some advisors have no idea about anything car related. Explaining to them in layman's terms sometimes helps bridge that gap. And, you know, sometimes you have to involve a more senior technician in your diagnosis or in your upsell to say, hey, I've watched him do it. He knows what he's talking about. You got to trust the kid. Like, you know, put a little belief in him. And, you know, sometimes I get involved even with new hires that are experienced in the job. They're just new to the brand. And the advisor's not too sure, hey, does this guy know that he's going the wrong way or is he going the right way? Like, you know, Steph, can you just oversee it? And I'm like, look, guys, you got to trust your techs, man. Just like they trust you, it's a two-way street. So building confidence just in the brand knowledge and just in your skill set knowledge as well. You got to know what you can and cannot do and be able to push that message to your advisors so that there is that trust.
Okay. Richard, when leaning on that a little bit and taking that one step further, so let's assume that somebody is going to take Stefan's advice and they're going to learn a little bit more about their systems. Maybe it's training, maybe it's just reading the manual, whatever the case may be. What is one hurdle, knowing that, because I know how much training you've done, what's something that you can do to sound more confident as a technician?
A lot of it comes down to tone, inflection, and cadence when you speak. When you start using a lot of fillers, a lot of nonsense when you're talking, when you're getting ahead of yourself, when you're explaining things to people, it will mask, like, even just the ability to socially interact with people. It can create a false sense of doubt with that person that you're talking to. It basically, you know, this is just a sales tactic, right? Like, you turn around and you look somebody in the eyes and you turn around and tell them what's wrong with their vehicle. You don't have to get into technical jargon. You have to do, a lot of it comes from learning how to read people, right? Because I'm in the position that I'm in, I get called up quite a bit to talk with customers. You know, a lot of the technical customers want more information. But even then, you know, we present a repair bill to a customer that, you know, it's going to be $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 to get their vehicle on the road, and they want an explanation of why. And, you know, the technician at the time, their notes aren't the greatest. So I have to go and have a conversation with the technician first to figure out, you know, what exactly is wrong with the vehicle, and then be able to articulate that to the customer in a way that they understand why we're calling what we're calling. Are we prioritizing the repairs that we're calling? You know, like, how much of it needs to be done today? how much of it needs to be done down the road? Is it preventative maintenance? There's a whole source of factors to that. And a lot of it, like a lot of what I feel that Stefan's talking about is the relationship between a tenured advisor and a new technician. Because a lot of the times you get high quality advisors who have seen repetitive repairs, repetitive problems. And rather than put the faith and trust in the technician that they're doing the proper job, they're starting to do diagnosis on the drive, which, you know, you want to get the vehicle into the shop, let the technician do their job. And then if you have doubts with that technician, you bring it forward to the proper leadership. You don't turn around and voice that so much to like your coworker, especially with advisors. We all know advisors talk. Advisors know who the weak techs are on their teams and who the strong techs are. And they'll always go and just get things double checked, especially if the advisor's, you know, been with a brand for any period of time. But a lot of it comes down to the way you talk to them. That's, you know, and if an advisor has questions, show them, dig them up to the vehicle, show them what's wrong with it. You know, if they don't know the system, give them a rundown on, you know, the quick and dirty of how the system works and what's wrong and what we're going to do to repair it. Right. So that's, you know, they just want an explanation so they can turn around and tell it to the customer in a way that makes sense for them. Right. So that's
makes sense.
That's my takeaway from what Steph said. So,
we're building on this. So we're talking about technicians communicating to advisors and how to improve that communication, overcoming some of the hurdles. And Stefan has said, you know, you have to be confident in what you're saying. If you need help being confident, you need a bit more training and know the product or system a bit better. If you need help making sure that who you're communicating to knows that you're confident in the situation, bring a senior tech into the equation if need be. Richard's then gone on to say, when you communicate those things, it's important that your tone, your inflection, your attitude, and how you convey it is exceptionally important. There are different ways and means by doing that, understanding, you know, how you're speaking, the words that you're speaking. It, you know, it can be taken a whole bunch of different ways. And the adjunct is to look out for advisors that have been around the block a few times. They have a tendency to put words in your mouth, which is not always a great thing, but it happens. We want to take as much of that diagnostic out of their hands as humanly possible and make sure it's in the shop. But that's I would suggest that's to Stefan's point. If they don't have confidence in the shop, if a tenured advisor doesn't have confidence in the shop, they're going to start diagnosing in the drive because they think they know better, or they don't have the confidence that the technician's going to do it. And they go, I've seen this 100 times. This is what this is. We want them to trust us in the shop that we can do what we need to do well to be successful. Marshall, you would have to take something maybe a step further because you don't necessarily have to have an advisor. It's all you. So you have present a different challenge. You're going direct to customer. As Richard brought up, you know, customers may want an explanation of why it's a $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 bill. You, on the other hand, are probably having to explain why there's a $15,000, $16,000, $17,000, $18,000 bill on a fairly regular basis when you've got a 40-50 hour labor repair on something HD. How do you mitigate A, convey confidence, and B, mitigate tone and inflection when you're conveying to either the advisor that you do work with from time to time and or the customer themselves?
I think I always try to take like an empathetic approach because like I don't quote from my pocket, but I think about how I would feel getting that kind of news, whether, you know, and it was my business that had to pay the bill. So I still present the quote and present my findings, whatever that may be. It may be catastrophic, and it may be, like you said, a $55,000 engine. I'm still going to do what I have to do and quote that. But I just, I guess my tone and the way I present is from an empathetic position, because I know that some, especially if it's like a one truck outfit, you know, two truck outfit, a $50,000 bill, $60,000 bill is going to be tough to swallow. So mm-hmm. I just, that's the approach that I take with it typically, is just, you know, an empathetic approach. And I try to just be, rip the Band-Aid off and just be as honest as I possibly can without getting into the weeds. You know, I try to be real direct. This is what's going on with it. These are the options. And usually those are the options that I'm willing to do. There may be other options, but these are the options that I'm willing to do in my repairs. And
awesome.
That's worked pretty well for me for a long time. So
I think that the, if you're in a position where options are present and setting your boundaries by how you present and what, more specifically in that circumstance, what you present will help you be more successful, whether it's the advisor that you're giving information to or the guest that you're giving information to. Awesome. I think in all three circumstances, we've got confidence, empathy, and tonality. And I think we can probably safe to say the four of us would agree that if we use those four pieces of information, regardless of who we're having a conversation with or why, we will be significantly more successful in either closing deals or getting a deal closed for us, if that's in the case. And I would agree. The only thing that I would suggest in that circumstance, when you're providing options or when you're talking to an advisor or a guest for that matter, that you keep the options as few as possible. What I do know that decision fatigue is a thing, overwhelm is a thing, especially in anxious circumstances where you're dealing with a lot of money. When you present three or four options to any circumstance, any difficult circumstance, especially finance, when finances are involved, it's easy to just say no to everything, even though something might be safety related, right? It doesn't matter whether it's brakes or tires or broken suspension components. If you overwhelm the guest or overwhelm the advisor with so much information and so many options, the knee-jerk reaction is just to say no and kick it out. And then they won't sell the job, or if you're dealing directly with the customer, they're just going to say no and, you know, kick it out and move on. You lose the opportunity for the sale. So empathy, confidence, tonality, attitude, emphasis, and lack of options. Keep the options simple. So yeah, I appreciate that.
Josh, I got one more approach that, you know, sometimes you have to reach down in your tool bag and you kind of got to like play it by ear sometimes, you know, depending on the customer. And I got another approach that I take. I was just watching Russell. I got another approach.
I'm going to leave that in. Russell's been busy at work, and he's coming in late, late in the conversation. He's getting himself set up, and I really, really appreciate that he's here. It's just awesome to see the lamp getting tossed around the room to get set up.
Yeah, totally rearranging the hotel room, trying to get this set up so it's actually a decent lighting in the studio.
Yeah.
And now to the studio.
But yeah, so another approach that I take is kind of a customer advocate approach. So I really sell the fact to my customers that I am there to help them. And, you know, they chose me. And so I got to remind them why they chose me. I'm here to help them. And that's kind of a direction that I will take, you know, with the way I'm talking to them. And the verbiage that I use is more of a, I like to call it more of a, like I said, a customer advocate approach, because I want them to feel safe. I want them to feel safe with their vehicle that I'm working on, their equipment that I'm working on, that I am going to give them a quality repair, and that all of that money that they spend is going to be for something, for a reason, you know? Mm-hmm. So
mm-hmm. That makes sense. Putting you on the spot, Russell, because you're coming in late to the party. So this is going to be right off the rip. We're talking about helping technicians improve their communication to advisors. Stefan led us off with being more confident in what you know and how you speak and what you know. Richard brought in making sure your tonality and your cadence is proper, along with a bunch of other stuff. Marshall brought in being able to be a customer advocate. I think that's the big one here right now. I think I really like that, as well as being empathetic to the situation and to the person that you're either selling to, whether it's the advisor you're talking to directly or you happen to be an individual who's talking directly with a guest. So what would you say above and beyond those? How would you take next steps to communicate more effectively to an advisor?
First thing I would say is be honest, straight up. Don't beat around the bush. Don't lie about it. Don't make stuff up. Give them good information and be honest about it. You know, oftentimes techs come in there and they're trying to upsell stuff, and the advisor knows they're getting the wool pulled over their eyes, bull crap or whatever, and they don't want to sell it. They don't want to deal, you know. So when they know that they can trust you, then you come in and you present, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I found. This is the number one priority. These are, priorities down that they need to address later on. And when the advisor knows they can trust you, they know that you're giving them the straight shot, then it's very easy for them to go and sell to the customer. But when you come in and you're just like, it needs, you know, $15,000 worth of work and it needs it all, and, you know, you're not giving them anything to work with, you're going to lose. But if you come in with a vehicle that needs $15,000 worth of work, okay, it needs this right now. It needs these things soon. It needs these things down the road. That gives them something to work with where they can sell your work and not leave you hanging.
Awesome. I think that's a great way to close that question off. That's a lot of good tidbits in there. Okay, cool. Fuck, it's good to see you guys fucking again. It's good to see you guys again. Glad you guys can make it.